There is one principle that has held true since the beginning of time. Satan hates what God loves.
It's just relentless. Every day we're waiting to see it. What attack has been made against our community?
Absolutely shocked, horrified. It's not acceptable.
And it's time to call this out for what it is. This is a campaign of domestic terrorism.
Anti-Semitism has consequences.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jen Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. In part one of our program, guest host Pastor Mark Henry talks to Olivier Melnick and Trevor Rubenstein. The world seems united on one issue, hatred of God's covenant people, the Jews. Why is this? In part two, Ken Michael and Josh Schwartz talk to Don Perkins about things to come. Here is today's programming.
Two Australian nurses have been caught in a shocking anti-Semitic tirade against an Israeli. In a video posted to TikTok, the pair can be heard bragging about killing and refusing to treat Israeli patients. The male nurse says that despite the Israeli's, quote, pretty eyes, he will be killed and sent to Jahannam, which effectively means hell. The female nurse says the Israeli will be killed because, quote, it's Palestine's country, not your country. Take a listen.
How are you, man?
Good, how are you, my man?
Pretty good. Are you a nurse, a doctor?
I'm a doctor, my man.
A doctor? What for what?
In hospital. What about you? Where are you from?
I'm from Israel, from the Holy Land.
I'm going to be really honest with you.
All right.
I'm going to be really honest with you. You actually got a really, really beautiful eyes.
Thank you,
but
man.
I'm so upset that you're Israeli. Like, eventually you're going to get killed and you're going to go to Jahannam, inshallah.
But
these pretty eyes, they should stay in this world for longer.
Why do you think I'm gonna get killed?
It's Palestine's country, not
Hello,
your country, you piece
how are
of
you?
Shit.
What's your name?
One day, your time will come and you will die the most...
We spread
listen to me,
peace.
Listen to me.
And
when
you spread
when your time comes...
How are you doctors?
Wait. I want you to remember my faith.
Okay,
so
okay.
Gotcha. That you will
I have
die
a question,
the most
though.
Disgusting death.
All right, for sure. I have a question,
okay,
though.
Yeah, what's your...
I have a question. Let's say an Israeli, God forbid.
I won't treat them. I'll kill them.
You'll kill them? So if an Israeli is in Australia and God forbid something happened to him and he comes to your hospital, would you kill him?
Okay, you have no idea how many Israeli Haradok came to this hospital and I sent him to Jahannam.
Simply unbelievable, the level of anti-Semitism exploding across not just the world, but right here in our country and in the free world. Well, welcome to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Mark Henry, filling in for Jan Markell. In studio, we have Trevor Rubenstein. He's the director of Chosen People Ministries here in this area. He's a longtime friend of Jan and myself. We're so thankful for how God is using him to advance the cause of the gospel in these days. And joining us from Rockwall, Texas, is Olivier Melnick. He's the president and executive director of Shalom in Messiah Ministries. He's been serving, training the body of Christ to advance the gospel, understand the Bible, prophecy, and he's an expert in the area of anti-Semitism. Well, I just want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thanks, Mark. It's always great to be here.
Trevor, I was emotionally paralyzed when I saw that video clip. Are Jewish people facing this? I realize they face it in Iran or Syria or someplace if they went to a hospital, but is this happening in other places in the free world?
Of course. I mean, anti-Semitism is exploding everywhere. There's really no place for the Jewish people to be able to truly defend themselves outside of the land of Israel. That's why the nation was originally created. It's a scary situation and things are getting worse. And particularly, Mark, something that's very new is that it's growing here in America. The anomaly for us in America in world history is that Jews have actually lived very peacefully here for their entire existence with minor things throughout the years. But in recent years, it's getting worse because throughout world history, it's an anomaly that Jewish people will live any place in the world without suffering major persecution.
Olivier, what is the root of this anti-Semitism, this hate? Is there a spiritual component?
Yeah, the root of it all. And really, if you do not understand the root, you will not be able to fight anti-Semitism or even expose it as what it is. The root is satanic. And my definition of anti-Semitism is anti-Semitism is the irrational and satanic hatred of the Jewish people and Israel, characterized by thoughts, words, and or deeds against them. And the two keywords really, Mark, are irrational and satanic. It is irrational because it is satanic. And only Satan can make the irrational sound and look rational. And people will buy the lies and go like, yeah, this is exactly true. I can adhere to that. I can go with that agenda. And at the end of the day, it's part of Satan's agenda to get rid of the Jews. And the reason why is because he knows that at the end of the seven-year tribulation, the Jewish people are going to call on the one who they have pierced, according to Zechariah 12:10. And they're going to say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, Yeshua, Jesus is going to return. And that ushers in the beginning of the good days and the end of the good days for Satan, really, because he's going to be thrown in the lake of brimstone and fire for all eternity, and he doesn't want to go there. So if the Jews don't call him, he doesn't come back. Satan's job is secure. That has been his agenda from the beginning of times, on top of going after everything that God loves. And God loves the Jewish people, and he has a special plan for them and for Israel. So Satan is going to hate what God loves and love what God hates. So that's why he's going so full force. And I agree with Trevor. It's been an anomaly in America. It's been a place where we could live in peace. But truly, the only place in the world now where you know that the government is going to watch your back is in Israel, even though there are on seven wars, or you could even say eight if you include the media.
Yeah, it is shocking when you look across the United States. When I trusted Christ years ago, read the Bible, fell in love with Israel, realized God has a plan for ethnic Israel, a future. And we were so blessed because the scriptures come through the Jewish people and Jesus comes through the Jewish people. And then to be shocked by what I see taking place, for example, in the area of academia and college campuses. Watch this.
I don't understand. Why not? Why go away? Tell me to go away. Tell them to go away.
Another violent anti-Israel protest has struck an American campus, this time Barnard College in New York City. Alicia Baker, a junior in Middle East history, joins us now. Alicia, what can you tell us?
A mob basically went into this building in the middle of the day with their keffiyehs and with signs and with megaphones and with drums. They took over an area of the building right outside of the dean's office, and they demanded amnesty and a reversal of the expulsions of students that had been expelled earlier in the week for protesting inside of a classroom and disrupting that course on history of modern Israel. Now, what we saw inside the building was 6 hours of essentially a standoff between the protesters and the dean, and public safety locked down the building. They blocked students from being able to go to class because essentially this protest was so disruptive and had so overtaken the building that classes could no longer go on. And they basically allowed it to happen, this standoff, for more than 6 hours, including, by the way, one instance where the dean had to ask permission from the protesters to leave her office and use the bathroom. To me, it's baffling. It's not only anti-Israel, but it's anti-American, and it goes against everything that a university should be tolerating.
It goes against everything the area of academia should be focused on. And why is it, Trevor, in these days, it seems like that's the catalyst, that's the place where so much of these attacks are coming and being fueled and spread among college-age students?
Well, I think that you touched on it earlier, and you talked about when you first came to faith, Mark, and you found really a love and appreciation for the people of Israel and the Jewish people, because again, it was within the foundation of the text that changed your life, the Bible itself, that you garnered that from. When we're in a place to where the scripture becomes less and less important, people are going to gravitate towards other forms of information and things that are going to take precedent over that. Something that we're seeing today, and this of course is true in academia, but also true in other components for the world around us, is people are putting other things over the Word of God. So if you put something else over the Word of God, whatever that other thing tells you, you're going to believe and you're going to subject God's Word to that thing. So academia, of course, is massive in this, but we see this all the time. There's many people, just because they simply aren't willing to read the Bible themselves, they're coming to different types of anti-Semitic conclusions because of what they're seeing online or what they're seeing from somebody teach them. If they actually read God's Word, they would recognize, particularly people, if they want to bless our nation, if they want to bless America, that the best thing that they can do is bless Israel, is really take care of the Jewish people. Maybe one of the reasons, and I say maybe, but I mean maybe in stronger language, that America's been so blessed is we've been so good to our Jewish people that have lived here. And so there's this strange focus when we move away from the scripture, of course, that's going to lead to, as Olivier said, demonic things.
Yeah, as you move away from a Judeo-Christian worldview, it only makes sense that there would be more hostility towards Israel, because there's only two kingdoms, God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom, and the world's following that and pushing that forward. How do people find you in your ministry?
Very simply, chosenpeople.com is our organization. We help to reach Jewish people with the good news of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah. And also we teach and help people understand the importance of the Jewish people and everything that they've meant for not just the faith that we have, but also for the so many blessings that we've received. That's chosenpeople.com.
Olivier, there's push by the president and his cabinet against these things on college campuses. I want you to respond to this video.
And to confront the crisis of anti-Semitism at our universities, I will tell college presidents that they must end the anti-Semitic propaganda, or they will lose their accreditation and they will lose all federal support.
Going to lose all of their support. That's what he said, Olivier. I just saw a news article that said Columbia is facing a cut of $400 million from federal funding. Harvard's facing some of these things as well. Is this going to fix the problem?
I think yes and no. It definitely should be a deterrent, and people should pay attention to what just happened with Columbia with the $400 million, and other schools should go like, okay, he really means what he says, and he says what he means. What saddens me is that it took that move by Trump to get the ball rolling. It would have meant a lot more to us if the schools, when they heard that Trump said, I'm going to do this, knowing his reputation, they would have said, you know what, we need to make a move. But it took an actual financial move to get them to start doing something. Is it going to help with other schools get our act together? I think yes, it's going to help in that way. But is it going to stop anti-Semitism? I don't think so. Anti-Semitism will continue. And actually, I know that anti-Semitism biblically will continue until Jesus comes back. But what's going to happen is that it might end up going back more under the carpet and not as open as it has been in the last few years, especially under the last administration. So it's going to continue, but it might be a little more hypocritical as it used to be. It has become very in the open in the last few years, where it's almost like it's becoming trendy to be anti-Semitic. But I think because of this current administration, it might go back somewhat into hiding, continuing to do the damage that it's done and even more, but not as openly as we've seen it, because there's going to be repercussion, which is good.
God created human government for the punishment of evildoers. This is evil, should never have taken place in the beginning, but that's the purpose of government, to suppress that. The bottom line is this: hearts won't be changed. And that's why we need to share the gospel with all of those students and come back to a biblical worldview. The power of the gospel changes lives, changes people's perspectives, moves them from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved son. And therefore, you're going to love the Jewish people and know that God has a plan for them. Olivier, how do people get in contact with you?
The ministry is shalominmessiah.com, shalominmessiah.com. Connect with us on the website. You can also find me on YouTube. I've got a big collection of videos teaching from a Jewish perspective, teaching on anti-Semitism, guest speakers.
Now, all you pastors out there, I want to invite you to join us for our next huddle that's coming up. It's going to be May 20th through the 22nd, and then we're going to be having a Thursday night event. That'll all be part of it. It's going to be an amazing time. Jeff Kinley is going to be with us for that portion Thursday night. But Trevor here is going to be one of our speakers, and David Tall from Israel, another dear friend of ours. And we're going to be talking about the geopolitical situation in Israel. We're going to talk about Israel's history and how we as followers of Jesus, spiritual leaders here in America, help equip our people to share the gospel with our Jewish friends, neighbors, those who are on campus. Really, our kids going to these college campuses need to be on point for Jesus in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with them. So join us. You can find that at olivetreeviews.org or markhenryministries.com, but please sign up and join us. You're listening to Understanding Times Radio. I'm Mark Henry, filling in for Jan Markell. Today, our guests are Olivia Melnick and Trevor Rubenstein, experts in Jewish studies, Jewish outreach, and anti-Semitism. Well, gentlemen, thank you again for being with us. Iron Carroll has become famous for his anti-Semitic conspiracy views. Just this week, he's been on Joe Rogan. Unfortunately, we're not able to show any of those clips because it's so filled with profanity, it was impossible to even share one of them. Sadly, many have embraced the show and embraced these conspiracies, Candace Owens being one of them and others. My question, Trevor, because he's become famous now, what are a couple of the conspiracies that he's presenting that have literally gone viral in these recent days?
So there's countless, one of which has to do with AIPAC's control of the American government. And something that they'll tell you is that it's a political action committee that really supports Israel. And something that they leave out is this is largely funded by Christians, not Jewish people who are Israelis, but largely Christians, because Christians love the Jewish people. And of course, they leave that information out and try to make it seem like it's an Israeli takeover of our government. And something else that they will say is that there's a lot of politicians that they donate to. And there are. But it's a tiny, tiny amount of the money that's donated to any of the politicians, a fraction of a single percent. But what ends up happening is it sounds like it's massive from the way that they present it. But political action committees will donate to people on both sides of the aisle because they have interests. And the interest of this group is the preservation of Israel. It's not a bad thing. And so they make it look like it's a takeover. But instead, it's just Americans saying, we care about these topics. Please support them as our politicians. One of the other major things that comes up, and this is actually an attack on Christians, is this false narrative that the Schofield Study Bible is a Rothschild conspiracy. The teaching is that Schofield, who came up with a study Bible, and they'll sometimes present this as its own version of the Bible, but it's actually study notes on a Bible. In this Bible, and this is true, that when he wrote it, he actually wrote about dispensationalism, which is really the view, partially, that God has future plans for Israel, which we just simply get from the scriptures.
This attack on the Bible so impacted me. I've got this video clip. I want to show this because what it shows is here's someone who's creating conspiracies. The Jews are trying to take over the world. They're trying to do all these evil things. And he's talking about something that I know about. This is really important. When people hear a conspiracy, listen to that person on something you really know and understand and see if they get those details right. Because if they don't get that right, the rest of their theories are probably all tainted as well.
Do you guys know about the Schofield Bible? Oh boy, here's a rabbit hole for you. Here's a rabbit hole for all of us. In the early 1900s, right around when the Federal Reserve was founded and the Balfour Declaration happened, right at that exact same time, the Rothschild family hired this dude, this pastor in the Deep South. He made a new version of the Bible called the Schofield Bible. He wrote this new Bible that has all these new interpretations of the text. So they didn't
with
change.
Jewish influence.
Yes, literally. That's where Judeo-Christianity kind of came from. And the idea that Israel is this modern Israel thing is the Israel of the Bible. It came from that Bible. And the Schofield Bible was funded by the Rothschild family. And then it was pushed because they owned the publisher that publishes like all the books. I think it was Oxford Press. And so they had the deals that they could make to get that Bible into all the mega churches across whole denominations of Christianity. And so that was when Christianity got kind of Jewified.
Ian does not understand the Bible, nor does he understand Bible notes in a Bible. I remember when I went to Bible college, that was what many of our professors had, the Schofield Study Bible. It's a tremendous study Bible. Olivier, how would you respond to this young man?
Not well. He is clueless. And the clueless people that seem to be speaking with authority and historical knowledge. And he made about 8 mistakes in that short clip here, talking about Christianity becoming Jewish at that time, talking about the Rothschild influencing and hiring Schofield. That's not true. I can tell you that from all the research I've done, there's no connection at that level with Schofield. And Oxford University Press has always been owned by Oxford University for like over 600 years. They are not owned by the Rothschild. The word Rothschild is a buzzword for Jewish, greed, money, control, banks. You put all those words together and then you mix them and you get the word Rothschild, a big conspiracy of Jewish taking over the bank and the financial world. So this man, Ian Carroll, he doesn't have a clue. And everything that he's spewing right now, what bothers me is that it's on a show like Joe Rogan, and a lot of people listen to Joe Rogan, and they believe that there is validity to what his guests are saying. And Trevor and I, a few days ago, were talking about it, and he made a good point that maybe this was Satan's attempt at trying to debunk the Schofield Bible, which is really when dispensationalism came to the masses in the notes. It explained to more Christians what dispensationalism is all about and how Israel is so important, God's plan. And this is maybe Satan's attempt at getting the lust of the supporters of Israel away from Israel by saying, hey, guys, your view of Israel is tainted. It's false. It's not working because it's based on a Bible that is not worth reading. Trevor, you want to add to that?
Yes. So the world is recognizing that the Jews have people that support them. They're Christian. Now what they have to do is attack Christian support of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel to try to separate anybody that they have that's willing to support them. The issue that they have is the word of God. Because we have here very clearly, and this is the Lord talking about what's going to happen in the future. This is in Romans chapter 11, starting in verse 25. And I love how Paul starts this. He says, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should become wise in your own opinion. And so this is the very thing that we've become ignorant of. And he goes on and says that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved. What's spoken of here is an end-time revival movement that happened to the Jewish people in Israel preceding the coming of Jesus. So this fight that we see against Jewish people living in Israel, against Jewish people being in the promised land, really is a fight against the promises of God and the return of our Lord. And this is a very attempt at this union that God set up for the Christians to love these people who, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have the covenants and the promises and even our Lord himself. So it's really, as Olivier was speaking before, it truly is demonic.
It's definitely demonic. And you know, you're just listening to that clip. If I was a college student, he speaks with a lot of authority in that. But just know that Scofield did not write a Bible. He wrote study notes in a Bible. And those study notes reflected a literal historical grammatical interpretation to scripture. And that's what he was calling people back to. And when you have a literal historical grammatical interpretation to the King James Bible, which had been around for 500 years roughly at that point, you're going to see that God has a plan to build his church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, of Jew and Gentile being brought into one body. And that he has a plan for ethnic Israel in the future. I am greatly concerned that people will be duped by this conspiracy. That is truly a conspiracy. Well, there's another conspiracy I just want to confront. And again, I want you two to respond to this video. We are constantly being told now that Israel is the one who is wanting genocide.
Some have suggested the Palestinian Authority take control of Gaza, even though Palestinian clerics are calling for genocide against the Jewish people. Chris Mitchell reports.
In a Friday exhortation from Ramallah, senior judiciary official Dr. Abdullah Harb prayed for the extermination of all Jews. Itamar Marcus, founder of Palestinian Media Watch, tells CBN News his organization has discovered a trend in Palestinian Authority messaging.
Five times in probably the last 6 months, we've heard the expression, Allah, count the Jews one by one, kill them one by one, don't leave even one.
And these prayers come from top Islamic officials.
Some of them are Sharia judges. Some of them are heads of the Sharia courts. These are very senior people in their religious establishment.
Marcus adds these sermons carry added weight, given the religious connection.
When you are telling people that they have to kill Jews because this is what their God wants, then you can't argue with them, you can't discuss with them, you can't reason with them, because they believe that this is fulfillment of Islam for them. And that's why it's such a difficult situation Israel is in.
I've shared with many of my friends, it's not Israel who wants genocide. It's Hamas. It's this Palestinian Authority. It's Iran. And yet it seems like when I'm talking to my friends, it falls on deaf ears. Do you got any suggestions on how we talk to people about these things?
One thing that's really important is just to challenge people to read Hamas's charter, because very clearly within their own charter for what it states, and you can look this up on any source, it doesn't even have to be anything that would be a pro-Israel source. It's just an official document. It actually states about their desire to eliminate all the Jewish people everywhere, not even just in the land of Israel. Something that's important to remember is Israel is considered the little Satan. We're considered the great Satan. They want to eliminate us too, Mark. So there's this ideology that's wicked. And because the world refuses to denounce a wicked ideology, they're instead having to embrace the wickedness of it and those who are propagating those things.
Olivia, what would you say to someone who says Israel is for genocide when we see this over and over again, Iran and others, this movement to eradicate the Jewish people? How do we reason with people?
It's hard to reason with people when you have two different ideologies. One group of people understands the sanctity of human life, and the other group is basically worships death. You're never going to be able to dialogue properly that way. But what I wanted to say about the genocide is just let the numbers speak for themselves. When Israel became a nation in 1948, it's agreed there was about 600,000 Arabs in Israel proper. And today, because of Israeli genocide, there's only 2 million. Wait a minute. How is that possible? Genocide gets rid of people, but we have 2 million Arabs inside Israel now. So it's the opposite of genocide. Usually those who accuse people of something are probably behind the scenes doing the very same thing. And when you hear on American campus, and sadly since October 7th, it's been increasing, which really should be the other way around, but somehow it's come out in the open. When you hear students and other people chanting on campuses and on the streets, from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free. It sounds like social justice to the uneducated masses, but in reality, it's from one side to the other side of Israel, Palestine shall be completely free of all the Jews. That is a call to genocide. And until recently, I always believed, and there's something to do with that, that 25% or more reduction in a people group by another people group constitute genocide. But I have also found out from the United Nations, I don't really trust them for a lot, but they had some research done. They said that intent is enough. If there is intent for genocide, that's enough to call it genocide. And when you say, from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free, that is genocidal intent right there.
Gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. I want to leave all of us with a verse. What did the Apostle Paul feel towards Israel? Again, he grew up as a Pharisee, ends up opposing Jesus, the gospel, trusts Christ on the road to Damascus. But this was his burden, his prayer of Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God is for Israel's salvation. Let's pray for Israel, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, to see that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Friends, stay tuned. Coming up on Understanding the Times Radio, Pastor Josh and Ken will be interviewing a good friend of ours, Don Perkins. Don't miss it.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In a time characterized by fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. We are pleased to announce the arrival of the newest Terry James book titled Tracking Toward Tribulation and the Any Moment Intervention by Jesus Christ. This is a compilation of chapters written by 15 contributors, all with insights into the lateness of the hour. Some of these contributors include Tom Hughes, Brandon Holdhouse, Dr. Randall Price, Mike Gendron, and Jan Markell. The new book is an intensively concentrated effort by the top writers and broadcasters of our time, analyzing the end-time issues and events bombarding America and the world. The authors, in thoroughly examining all things involved in the swift movement toward the establishment of Antichrist world-controlling regime, present a glorious prospect for all who cling to the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessed hope, the rapture of the church. Find Tracking Toward Tribulation in our online store, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call our office at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Gain great wisdom and insight as we track the any moment return of Jesus Christ.
When you understand the future as God has literally written it in the text, it gives you a calm and a peace to know that a sovereign God is literally in control. So Bible prophecy, we need to understand it. People need to grasp it, and especially in the times that we're living in.
We know you can't always be by a radio. So if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. In part two of today's programming, Pastor Josh Schwartz and Ken Michael talk to Don Perkins, who looks at all things according to prophecy. Here is the balance of today's programming.
You can trust God's prophetic word. You can trust prophecy that comes from the Bible. It's a sure word. Then he said in verse 20 that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. What this tells the saints is that God protected the integrity of Bible prophecy by not giving it just to one man. All through the scriptures, God gave one prophet piece of the puzzle, another prophet piece of the prophecies. And what's happening today, we're living in a time now that's so exciting, we can see a panoramic view of these prophecies in one view.
When we use the words of the prophets, that is Bible prophecy, we're giving something that speaks to the sinner's intellect. We show him that only God knows the future and that he wrote the future in his word thousands of years before it came to pass.
The Old Testament's prophets, these men longed to live in the day that we're living in. Verse 21 said, the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but the Holy Spirit moved upon these men of God. These men wrote under the unction of the Holy Spirit.
That gives legitimacy to the Bible as the word of our Creator. And that helps a skeptic see that its promise of eternal life has credibility. In other words, if the Bible is merely a man-made book, it should be discarded immediately. But if it is, as it claims to be, divinely inspired, then its unique promise of everlasting life is something you should seriously consider. Remember, this verse uses the word both. Paul testified both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets.
Bible prophecy proves who God is. Really, it's the main proof of the truth of the Bible, because only someone who's outside of time and space and someone who's sovereign over this world can predict the future.
Prophecy also has a tremendous evangelistic value. You see, I became a Christian because for the first time in my life, I was educated on Bible prophecy. So it's not just a matter of understanding the future, it's life-changing as well.
Welcome to Understanding the Times. I'm Ken Michael, along with Pastor Josh Schwartz. Well, we know that Bible prophecy is extremely important. In fact, almost a third of the Bible is prophetic. And we know that all of the prophecies in the Bible that have been fulfilled up to this point have been fulfilled literally. So why won't most pastors and churches even touch this subject? Well, we'll answer this and more with our guest today. He's an evangelist and well-known speaker on everything that's Bible prophecy. He's the founder of According to Prophecy Ministries. We'd like to welcome Don Perkins. Don, thank you so much for joining us today.
Ken and Josh, I'm honored and privileged to be with you guys today. I look forward to our time as we look at God's prophetic word.
Amen. So Don, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and your ministry.
Well, I'm really honored and privileged to serve the body of Christ in this capacity. This year, in July, will be 44 years I've been teaching and studying Bible prophecy. The Lord laid that call into my life, and I accepted the call. And when I did that, my life changed. God deposited an insatiable desire to study the Word of God. Again, my focus is on Bible prophecy, the end time. So I've been teaching for a while now. I love to help people to understand Bible prophecy, to make it simple for the common man. A lot of people out there are afraid of prophecy, afraid of the book of Revelation, and it's because they don't really understand and don't really know. So I love what I do, proclaiming God's prophetic truth to a lost world.
Don, thank you. Your ministry has been instrumental in my life and an encouragement to me as well. Now, I have a really important question. What does the Bible teach about God in Bible prophecy?
I love that question because the Bible tells us a lot how God's relationship deals with prophecy. In the scriptures, the book of Isaiah, it talks about God says, I am God who declares the end at the beginning. God says, before I do a thing, I will show it and then I bring it to pass. So God's relationship with Bible prophecy is that he tells us in advance what he's going to do. He literally gives us prophetic intel about what's coming in the future. Now, we as believers, we live in an exciting time because we can read in the scriptures how the future is going to look. I love one of the statements that Jan made about people think the world is falling apart or falling to pieces. And she said, literally, the pieces are falling together, coming together. And that is so true. I look at a lot of people that don't really understand the end times, and I can tell when Christians don't know it because they are freaking out. They are nervous. They are anxious about the times. What that tells me is that they don't understand the future. When you understand the future as God has literally written it in the text, it gives you a calm and a peace to know that a sovereign God is literally in control. So Bible prophecy, we need to understand it. People need to grasp it, and especially in the times that we're living in.
Absolutely, because the truth is this, God is faithful, and he shows his faithfulness in Bible prophecy by telling us what's going to take place in the future so that when it takes place, we trust him more fully.
Absolutely. You know, there's a quote that I love to quote in our conferences. It's by the late Dr. Chuck Missler from his book, Prophecy 2020. Chuck said this. He said, "We don't take prophecy seriously because it's in the Bible." He said, "We take the Bible seriously because of the track record of his prophecies." See, we can trust our Bible because we have a book that's centuries old, millennia old, that read today like a current day newspaper. You can trust this book because the prophecies are real. We have a track record that they've come to pass. I look at the life of Christ. His whole life was detailed. Him going to the cross, every aspect of his life was already pre-written in the Old Testament. And there are many more prophecies going in the future about his life. If those prophecies of the Old Testament that led Jesus to Calvary have come to pass, then we can trust everything that it says going forward about the end times. And I trust the word because of that track record.
Yeah, Don, as do we. We trust his word. We trust Bible prophecy. In fact, it's scientifically and mathematically impossible for those prophecies that have already been fulfilled to not be true. Math and science proves the authenticity of the Bible. Thank you for bringing that up. So as we look, and as I'm hearing from people, and I'm sure you are too, many people are wondering if we're in the generation of the Lord's return. Is there an overview or a timeline that you can explain to us about Bible prophecy to clarify to people? Because many people now are anxious, and many of the things that we're seeing online are just heresy. So can you explain that to us for our audience?
God has a wonderful blueprint for the end times. And again, this is why we can literally trust his word. As you mentioned, there's a lot of stuff out there on YouTube and other platforms where we have these so-called experts, and literally they are just twisting up prophecy. They're pulling things out of context. They're reading a lot of things into the scriptures. They are real sensational about some things. When you stick with the word of God is quite clear. There's a simple timeline to Bible prophecy. Today, we are currently in what's called the church age. As we understand what God is doing, it gives us clear assurance that God has everything under control. I'm in a lot of conferences just like you guys are, and I meet people all the time that are very anxious, and I can tell when a Christian don't know the future by how they live today in the present. Again, they're anxious because they're looking at current events, all the signs of the times, things that are happening, and they are freaking out. But I tell them all the time, I say, I sleep good every night. The reason why I do, because a sovereign God is in control. There's a lot of stuff out there. And I want Christians all the time to be very, very careful with some of the stuff you watch on YouTube that's not biblical. Always judge what you're listening to in light of God's word, and you'll get a clear understanding.
Amen. That's exactly what the scriptures say in 2 Peter chapter 1 and chapter 2. It's amazing to me. This is what Peter writes, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is inspiration. That word carried along there carries the illustration of wind in their sails. So the Spirit of God is the wind in the sails that carry along the authors of the scriptures. And then many people stop there. But Peter continues on in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, saying this, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you." So God has inspired his word, but we must be on guard against false teachers. Don, this is what we're seeing.
Absolutely. And again, the only way you're going to know that is you must be a student of the word. There's a lot of things out there. It seems so good. Some of these guys are so polished and so articulate in the way that they communicate. But if you don't know the word of God, you could literally fall prey to some of this falsehood that's being taught out there. A lot of times as I'm watching certain programs or watching something on YouTube, the minute I hear a false truth, the word of God identifies. I said, wait a minute, that's not right. That's not what the scriptures say. So we need to understand Bible prophecy. I believe that pastors need to teach Bible prophecy. I challenge pastors. I say, listen, if you don't have an appetite for Bible prophecy, bring a preacher in who God may have called to teach Bible prophecy to bring this prophetic word from the word of God to your congregation. I think a lot of pastors that don't teach it, they literally are doing their churches a disservice by not giving the whole counsel of God.
Amen. Now, Don, a question that often comes up to our ministry, and I'm sure to yours as well, is this. I'm a church member. I go to this church. I love this church. I love the people in the church. They're faithful. They teach the word of God, but they're not teaching Bible prophecy. How would you encourage a parishioner, a congregant, a member of that church to interact with their pastor about teaching Bible prophecy?
First thing I would do is ask them to pray for their pastor. Ask God to touch his heart. And then I would also encourage them to have a meeting with him, spend time with him, and say, "Pastor, you know, why don't we ever hear a message on the end times?" Find out what is his views on it and begin to question him in that regard. And then when you talk with that pastor, have some things ready to give him. Well, Pastor, if you don't have an appetite for it, maybe you might want to bring this individual in or this individual.
Don, you're absolutely right. And what Josh and I do when we go out and speak is we do exactly what you said. And there are some pastors, however, who do not want to because either they don't know enough about it or they weren't taught this in seminary school. So what we've been doing is we've been encouraging a number of congregants to get a small group together and ask the pastor, "Hey, can we meet once a week at the church? And we want to just have a gathering and teach on Bible prophecy." And they show clips of teachers like yourself and us and others that we're affiliated with. And before you know it, the group tends to get bigger and bigger. And then they'll actually invite the pastor in and say, "Hey, we'd like you to attend this and check this out." And even if the pastor isn't comfortable teaching it, the pastor may be open to having one of us come out there and teach this. So that's a great way to do it. So then we know that Bible prophecy strengthens our faith because it's so true. But how does Bible prophecy strengthen a believer's faith?
One way is strengthening the faith by letting them know that they can trust the prophetic word. Another part of that trusting God's word is that Bible prophecy, when you understand it, it takes the fear out. When I grew up, I went to church religiously. I wasn't really a Christian at the time. I went to church, but while I was there, I heard people talking, even preachers, and they would say, "If you study the book of Revelation, you could lose your mind." Now, when I heard that, that just shocked me. So when I became a Christian in my young adult life, guess what book I would never go in? The book of Revelation. Why? Because I didn't want to lose my mind. And then lo and behold, God has a wonderful sense of humor. He called me into the area of Bible prophecy. And as I began to study God's word and then study the prophetic word, then the Bible opened up even more. I understand that the future is not something that we should be afraid of. So I would encourage people to, as they study the word of God will literally give them a peace and a comfort. There's a scripture in Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6. It says, "Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times." What that says is this: when you get God's wisdom and God's knowledge about the future, it's a stabilizer. It gives you peace. So I encourage people to study the word. If you don't understand it, get books and teachings and good quality ministry. You can follow like Understanding the Times. And then as you begin to study that, it will blossom. It will give you hope.
Amen. Well, Don, we are living in the last days. We are living in the last moments of the last days. And prophetically, the Apostle Paul warns Timothy, a young pastor, twice, once in 1 Timothy and once in 2 Timothy. He says this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, "Now the Spirit expressly says in latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons." He then says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Understand this, Timothy, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving God, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power." Are we seeing these things in the days in which we live? Are these proof of us being in the last moments of the last days?
Absolutely. What you just read with Paul talking about perilous times, troublesome times, what we are seeing based on scripture is true evidence that we're living in the last days. A lot of times people ask me, "Well, Brother Perkins, what can you give me to prove that we're in the last days?" What I do, I give them the signs, the very indicators that you read. One of my colleagues made a statement that we're living in gloriously dark times. And what he meant by that was because we see these events, the wars and rumors of wars, the perilous times, we see all these negatives point to the glorious end of the return of Christ. And we can prove to the world that we're living in the last days. All of these things are indicators of where we are. And you can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're there.
Yeah, and that verse Josh mentioned, I think pride, that's the number one destroyer. It destroys governments. It destroys families. It destroys ministries. We've seen that especially in these last days. Don, as we transition here, I want you to listen to another clip and get your take on it.
I want to be 100% on the side of Israel when they fight their enemies. I think we're going to see that again in the near future. And I believe that God will have his hand on that and that Israel needs to be there. They're the best friend we have in the Middle East. And they have God's prophecy written all over them.
High casualties are reported in Syria with at least 1,000 civilians killed by militant Islamists in the country's west in Latakia, Hama, and Homs. The murdered are religious minorities, including women and children.
In the last days, the leader of Russia will make war against the nation of Israel in an epic battle that takes place on Israel's northern hills. Iran, Turkey, Libya, and Sudan will join forces with Russia in an effort to destroy the nation of Israel once and for all. No nation on earth will come to Israel's aid. But when it seems like Israel is totally helpless against her enemies, God will intervene.
When his feet touch on the Mount of Olives, a great chasm is going to develop. One of my favorite things about the book is that water will fill that and will run for the ends of the earth, and part of it will encompass the Dead Sea. And when that water that comes from that separation on the Mount of Olives hits the Dead Sea will be fresh water. And one of the passages in the Old Testament talks about people standing around the edge of the Dead Sea and fishing. There are no fish in the Dead Sea now, but they're going to be someday.
Yeah.
So the beauty is when you become a Christian, you take hold of the future.
You're listening to Understanding the Times. Our guest today is from According to Prophecy Ministries, Don Perkins. So Don, before we get to the events happening in Syria, why is modern-day Israel a key nation in Bible prophecy?
I agree with that statement because without Israel, we cannot get to the end of the story. Israel is a major puzzle piece in God's prophetic word. As a matter of fact, it's like God's prophetic word was waiting for that puzzle piece of Israel to come in, and then many prophecies begin to connect to it. A lot of people, for whatever reason, they have different ideas about Israel. The replacement guys who don't believe that Israel has any significance in the last days, I know to tell them that you have a major problem because God has brought this little nation physically back into the world. Again, the statement I made, without Israel, we cannot get to the end of the story. There's a prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 35 and 36, and it actually talks about how God has tied this little nation of Israel to the universe. And again, this is a prophecy that was so amazing, and we are literally witnessing this prophecy before our very eyes. So if I can, let me read this scripture because I love this passage so much. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 31 and 35. Jeremiah wrote this, "Thus said the Lord, which giveth the sun for light by day and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for light by night, which divided the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, said the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before my eyes." Then he continues in verse 37. "Thus said the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth stretch out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, said the Lord." What I love about those passages, it shows that God tied the existence of the nation of Israel to the universe. He said, if you can measure the heavens, if you can go to heaven and measure the expanse of heaven, then Israel will cease from being a nation. He said, if you can stop the sun, moon, and stars, the ordinances that God has placed in the heavens, if you can stop those ordinances from coming, then Israel will cease to be a nation. When I woke up this morning, the sun woke up with me as well. It is proof text that Israel is here today by divine providence of God. Again, whatever people try to do to discard Israel, they really can't, because God has a major plan. When I started studying Bible prophecy, in the beginning, I had no understanding or any love for Israel. When I began to study God's word, a love for the nation of Israel burst in my heart, and it was a direct result of God's word. As I see Israel, I see the end of the story, and it's exciting to watch what God is doing.
Now, that is a fantastic explanation about the importance of Israel when it comes to God's sovereign plan. I recently heard someone say that the first anti-Semite was an angel, i.e. Satan, a fallen angel. And the reason why anti-Semitism doesn't die is because angels don't die. And so we're going to have a continual enemy of Israel. And so we're going to see a continual movement of anti-Semitism. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree with that, because whenever the devil sees the nation of Israel, he sees proof of God's word that God's prophecy is marching on. The devil understands that when Israel come back into world history, that his days are numbered. And that's why he hates Israel with a passion. What gets me sometimes is that you have a lot of Christians out there that are out there protesting with those banners, Israel from the river to the sea, Israel shall not be. To me, they don't understand what the Bible says in regards to Israel's significance in the last days. This is one reason why Bible prophecy must be taught in the church, a clear message, and Israel is a major part of that. It breaks my heart when I see young people out there, I'm talking about young Christians out there, protesting against Israel. And what they're really doing is protesting against a sovereign God who's going to win. I'm in a lot of churches where they never hear the message of Israel. And then once I present that message, they have a whole different perspective about Israel's place in the last days.
Amen. So, Don, what we've been seeing in recent days is extremely disheartening. I'm talking specifically about what we heard in the previous clip about the murderous genocide that is taking place in Syria. I'm sure our viewers are up to speed on that. In essence, what's happening is the new Gulani regime is trying to take out the Alawites in regards. They're also taking out Christians and civilians, women and children in Syria. Now, my question is this. With everything that's happening in Syria, could this lead us up to a fulfillment of what God's word says in Isaiah chapter 17 about Damascus being leveled?
Absolutely. I do believe that it could lead to that point. Now, we don't know how it's going to fully connect. I mean, many times in the recent past where events have happened in Syria, and prophecy guy like myself and many others have said, oh, man, could this be when Damascus is wiped off the map? But yes, it could very well be that. One of the fulfillments of prophecy I do look at what's going on is wars and rumors of wars, nations against nations, ethnos against ethnos. What we are literally seeing, again, is a fulfillment of prophecy. It is exactly what the Word of God says about the end times. When they remove the side, you have different groups that are still for him and other groups that are not for him. But this ethnic cleansing that these people are doing, it's unbelievable that it's still happening, but it's a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. The whole Middle East is unstable. And I say this, it's unstable by God's design, especially when it comes to Israel. The scripture in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 talks about Jerusalem in the latter days becoming a cup of trembling and a burdensome stone to the world. God prophesied that all nations would eventually come against Israel. So I believe that the unstableness of that region, from Jerusalem to Syria to Iran, all of those things are playing into God's end time program that is truly letting us know that we have reached that season. Now, we do know that Israel will be it forever. They cannot wipe Israel off the map. God has brought her back into world history. She has a major plan and place in God's future. But what we are seeing with this nation coming back in, with all of what God is allowing them to do, they want to rebuild the temple. They want to restore temple worship, the red heifers, just the migration of the Jews back to the land. That's a prophecy by itself. All these things are happening as proof text that we are closer to the end than we realize. So I love Israel, but what we're witnessing with the massacre, again, is just another fulfillment of Bible prophecy.
So with that, as we bring this to a conclusion, Don, we know that Israel is one of the main themes of the Bible. We know that Bible prophecy is going to conclude in Israel. Until that time, how can we share the gospel, especially with our Jewish friends and neighbors?
I love that question, Ken, because God loves Israel. It's the apple of his eye. You know, the way we as Christians can share this message of hope to our Jewish friends, first of all, by knowing the word of God. We must be students of the word. And again, we need to allow God to help us to love them. A lot of times, our Jewish friends, they automatically don't like Christians because of the past. We need to turn that by ministering the love of God to them. But you need to know the word of God if you're going to minister to them. I teach a series dealing with the tabernacle of Moses in the light of Bible prophecy. And as I've gone through the tabernacle study, it taught me so much about my Savior, Jesus Christ. But the Jewish people, they understand the tabernacle. They understand the feast. They understand all those things, the Passover. as a believer, if you understand how those things point to the life of Christ, the work of Christ, you have a better inroads into ministering to your Jewish friends. I will say this, that our Jewish friends have to receive Christ just like we Gentiles. There's no special plan for salvation outside of what God has already established through Christ. But we need to know the Word of God. We need to love them. We need to allow God to set up times when we can minister to our Jewish friends. My heart's desire is to lead many Jewish people to a saving knowledge of their Messiah. Many of them are coming to faith right now. And again, it's exciting to see that when it happens. But we can reach them as believers in love.
Our guest today has been Don Perkins. Don, how can people get in touch with you and your ministry?
They can go to our website, which is www.according2prophecy.org, or they can go to any one of the app platforms, Google Play, Apple, any one of them, put in According to Prophecy Ministries. They can download our app there, and then you can learn a lot about our ministry there. So again, we would be honored for them to come by and visit.
Don, I want to thank you for your time, and God bless you and your ministry.
Ken and Josh, I thank you so much for having me. I love what you guys are doing, and I'm excited to be a part of what you're doing. Thank you.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Some would say we're in an uncertain age. The Bible assures us that in reality, all of what we believe is certain as it is rooted in the Bible. And the Bible tells us that now more than ever, all things predicted are falling into place.